Track 1, Introduction. Welcome to the Home Study course sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled Behavioral Interventions for Sleep Disorders. Our primary intent for this Home Study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is James Brennigan. I will be the narrator of this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of this course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with sleep disorders. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes or, if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce the CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable. Thus, we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with a section of the content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint. After you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapists, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purpose of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as night terrors, treatments for children, insomnia, circadian rhythms, delayed sleep phase syndrome, narcolepsy, mental imagery, interventions for breathing-related sleep disorders, relaxation, and taking control. So let's get started. Throughout this course, we will explore a number of sleep disorders and provide techniques for how to help clients cope with and overcome these disorders. On the rest of this track, we will discuss type A night terrors. We'll be examining incidents of type A night terrors, characteristics of type A night terrors, and symptoms of night terrors. As you listen to this track, you might consider how the information might be applied to one of your own clients. First, let's discuss incidents of type A night terrors. Type A night terrors occur typically in children, but may persist into adolescence. According to Dr. Joyce Kales, about 3% of children experience type A night terrors. 36% of type A night terrors in children persist into adolescence. Dr. Kales states, night terrors typically begin in childhood or early adolescence and are usually outgrown by the end of adolescence. However, these statistics can be misleading. As you know, these numbers only reflect reported cases. It has been theorized that night terrors in general are an underreported closet condition. The parents of children who suffer night terrors are often quite upset by the child's apparent distress, but may simply view the occurrence of night terrors as just a bad dream. Such was the case with Nadine, age 7. Nadine's mother, Beth, stated in one of our sessions, "Nadine first started having these really bad dreams when she was about 2. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and hear her screaming and struggling. At first, I thought Nadine was just having one or two bad dreams each month because I only heard her screaming every once in a while. I didn't realize that she had night terrors almost every time she went to bed. She never told me about them. Think of your Nadine. Does he or she avoid talking about night terrors with her friends or family? Next, let's discuss some characteristics of type A night terrors. As you are aware, no one is absolutely certain what causes type A night terrors. But, as you know, type A night terrors are not a result of child abuse or extreme trauma. Conversely, research indicates that overreactions by a child's underdeveloped emotional system may be misinterpreting rather mundane environmental stresses. Clearly, this research is supported by the fact that an unexplained resolution occurs when a child reaches an age of more advanced cerebral comprehension with corresponding elevated association skills. This results in over 60% of type A night terrors sufferers growing out of it. Are you treating a child like Nadine or an adolescent with type A night terrors? On the next track, we will discuss some treatment strategies that Nadine's parents implemented to speed the natural process of Nadine's growing out of her night terrors. In addition to incidents of type A night terrors and characteristics of type A night terrors, our third topic for discussion is symptoms of night terrors. These signs and symptoms related to both type A and type B night terrors, which we will discuss on track 3, common symptoms of night terrors are waking with a scream followed by moaning or gasping, rapid heartbeat, profuse sweating, rapid breathing, and increased blood pressure. Another common somatic response is activation of the fight or flight response, which, as you know, can result in heightened abilities for fleeing and defending. Signs of night terrors may include violent body movements, such as thrashing, open eyes, unresponsiveness, or violent or aggressive response to efforts to comfort, and poor recall. As you are already aware, night terrors can occur during episodes of sleepwalking. The signs and symptoms of night terrors generally last between 5 and 20 minutes. On this track, we discussed type A night terrors. Our discussion included an examination of the incidence of type A night terrors, characteristics of type A night terrors, and symptoms of night terrors. On the next track, we will discuss ways of treating type A night terrors. I have found that for parents with children or adolescents suffering from type A night terrors, three effective cognitive intervention treatments are behavior documentation, assisted recall, and associative connections. Question 1. What are three signs of night terrors?